Blessings, everyone. Good to see all these names popping up on the screen. Today's April 18th, 2026. We stand in one accord today as we come before you. And I echo that petition that my lips, Lord, put a hot coal to my lips. Nothing comes forth from me, that everything is from you, Lord. And most importantly, to touch the ears of your people, that all of us will hear and continue to receive more and more as we go forth. Let them hear what you're saying, not me. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This week, all I can do is praise our God. I can speak personally today, and I think many of you will say, I echo that. But I've been refreshed and revived by him this week in major ways. I know some of you are also giving praise reports in this regard. We are so blessed, aren't we? We are so blessed. This week, while writing about, I think last week I had mentioned the various assignments the Lord's given me. Well, and I had felt bad because of just not being able to press in, it seemed, right? But this week, while writing about the regathering of Israel in what the Lord calls that second Exodus, I will again, he says, set my hand together, Israel, from all over the earth. You know, but I was led, as I was doing this, I was led to review the first Exodus, to look again at the Israelites as they encountered the various situations in the wilderness. We all know the story. You know, we know for the most part, they were a bunch of murmurers and complainers. And it began immediately, didn't it? I mean, right away. They said, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you brought us out to die in the wilderness? And this was said at the Red Sea before crossing over, after they had witnessed and were protected from the last, seven of the 10 plagues. They complained about not finding water, or that when they did, it was bitter. They complained about the manna. They called it worthless food. Can you imagine that? Worthless food. They were tired of it. They complained about the leadership of Moses and Aaron. I looked at how many times they accused God or Moses of bringing them out to die in the wilderness. And it was from their very first night at the Red Sea, all the way through to when the spies came back. And they refused to enter the promised land. They started, oh, he's brought us out to kill us. At every turn, they actually said they would have preferred to stay and die in Egypt than to be let out to die in the wilderness. They accused God and Moses at every turn. And we know how it turned out, don't we? Those who were 20 years or older would not be going into the promised land. They would wander in the wilderness 40 years to allow that older generation to die off. They got what they continued to accuse God of from day one. They got what they said. They died in the wilderness. Wow. Let me just say this. This message is not about our forefathers in the wilderness. It's about what I was told just a few mornings ago. the morning of the 14th, after a time of prayer, you know, where I was just sitting still. I hadn't even begun to go further in any writings or anything like that. I was just sitting still. Out of the blue, the Lord said, open wide your mouth. You will eat the fruit of your lips. If you want a title for this message, that's it. Open wide your mouth. You will eat the fruit of your lips. And the emphasis I'm making on the word will is the way I heard it. You will eat the fruit of your lips. Immediately, the word of God began flooding into me verse after verse about the power of our words. Lord God, flood their ears right now. Flood their spirits right now. Flood them. Flood us. Let's just state a few of these verses just for foundational purposes before I share what the Lord's saying to us right now, because it's huge. Let's look at Proverbs 18. You can just write these down and read them later, but Proverbs 18, verses 20 to 21 says, a man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth, from the produce of his lips, he shall be filled. Wow. This is talking about our food, our sustenance, our everything. From our own lips, we will be filled. And the second part of the verse says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Death and power, whether it be death or life, our forefathers got death for the most part. Those who love it will eat its fruit. And we're talking death and life here from our own lips. In Mark 11, verse 23, Jesus tells us, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Jesus is saying, if you believe it and you say it, you'll have what you say. If you believe it and you say it, you'll have what you say. Now, let's segue into the bigger picture here, what he began to minister. In Hebrews 1, verse 3, says, God has, in these last days, spoken to us by his Son, whom he's appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the ages, who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. In John 1:3 says, Jesus is called the Logos, the word. He spoke, Jesus spoke, and all things were created by him. Read Genesis 1. It's very clear about this. And God said, let there be light. And there was light, right? And God said, each day, age, God said, and it was created. Jesus spoke into creation. Everything was created by the word, Jesus Christ. And he is even now upholding, it says, all things by the word of his power. Everything was and is done, created, and sustained by his word. So let's come forward to right now and what's just ahead. How do you and I fit into all this? First of all, I believe all here believes the judgments of God are unfolding before our eyes, you know, the labor pains and such. What is one of the clues? All nations will be in distress. They're all beginning that. They're unfolding before our eyes and will only increase as we go further. How are these judgments released? How are these judgments released? Doesn't it say in Revelation 19 that a sword proceeds out of his mouth? Let me read the excerpt from, let's see, verses 11 through 15, an excerpt here. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except him. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. So Jesus defeats his enemies with his word that appears as a sword proceeding from his mouth. Aren't we told one of our weapons of armor is the sword? The sword of the Spirit, it says, which is the Word of God. We're given the same thing. Ephesians 6, verse 17. You and I are told in Isaiah 54, 17 that no weapon formed against you will prosper. How's that? No weapon, it says, will be successful against us. It doesn't say they won't come against us, does it? We'll have all kinds of things. We're already having all kinds of things come against us. But it says nothing's going to be successful against us. His people, his sequestered, his sanctified ones, his remnant in this hour. No weapon will be successful against us. In 1 John 4, 17 says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Most of our forefathers didn't make it. They died in the wilderness. And those who did make it through eventually failed and were kicked out of the promised land because they failed to take out their enemies. They failed to believe God, right? To take the land as they were instructed to do. These and a ton of other scriptures point to our identity in Christ Jesus. You know what Jesus came to do? Our status before God is identical to that of our risen, glorified Jesus Christ, that we may have confidence and boldness in this hour. There's tons of scriptures we could go through here. But we're told in Revelation 12, verse 11, that we overcome the enemy. How? By the blood of the Lamb, who redeems us back, right? Who redeemed us back, made the way back for us. Number two, the word of our testimony is what we confess out our mouth, testify. Everything the word of God says is true. It's through the blood of the Lamb who covers us, His righteousness. When the enemy comes, he will have nothing in us because of His righteousness, His covering over us, and the word of our testimony that we confess and we confess out of our mouth and testify. It is critical to understand what we're being told here. We must guard our lips. Everything we say, we will have. This is the way of creation. This is God's way. Our God created everything by speaking it. Speaking it. He's going to defeat all the wicked by speaking for His word. The word of God. That one, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The weapon we're given. Yes, we must guard our lips. We must guard everything we say. We will have. This is the way. Again, this is the way of creation. We're created in His image to be speaking the truth out our mouth, to confess His word regarding a matter, whatever that is. What does God say? Well, something, you're hit with something. Well, what does God say about this? Right? In 2 Corinthians 10, when speaking about our mighty weapons of warfare, and I highly recommend that you read 2 Corinthians 10, verses 1 through 6. But in verse 6, we're told, quote, "And having a readiness," talking about His people, His mighty weapons of warfare. And when we're having a readiness to pay back all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. And you can see some of what we'll be called upon to do once, as we read, when our Lord can trust us. When our obedience is fulfilled, then He'll turn us loose when we're ready. When He's perfected that which concerns us. When He finishes the work He promised that He will finish in us. When He can trust us, look at Psalm 149, verses 7 through 9. I'm going to read that. I wasn't going to read it, but I'm going to read Psalm 149. Here we go. And I'm just going to read verse 7 through 9. Well, let's start in 5. "Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds." Are we doing that? "Let the high praises of God be in their mouth." Are they? "And a two-edged sword in their hand." Well, we know what that is, the word of God. "A two-edged sword in their hand to execute vengeance upon the nations and punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. This is the honor have all His saints. Praise you the Lord." Praise you the Lord. Lord. We're to be used as His instruments of righteousness. You might go and pull that up on the Mighty Hand of God website. His instruments of righteousness, doing. We're going to be doing the works of Jesus during the judgment period. And this will lead to the greatest harvest to ever hit the planet, resulting in an innumerable multitude being saved and appearing before the throne of God. What is God telling us? "Each will eat the fruit of his own lips." When trouble shows up, when what looks like a mountain or whatever shows up, appears before you, what do you say? What will you say? Let it not be as our forefathers. Oh, oh, complaints coming on our lips. Let not that be what we say. Let it be our belief in the very promises of God. We begin to proclaim the truth of the Lord our God, the word of the living God. A side note here, I thought of this right before this time began here a little bit ago. We know the angels are sent to minister, right, to the heirs of salvation, to you and me. For a time before we are mature, we're like as children, right? For a time before we're mature, saints, the angels, they hang around us. They're assigned to us to deliver us out of all kinds of situations, things we aren't even aware of at times, right? We pray and they send angels. God sends others that if they're more needed. Like Jesus said, I could pray the Father had sent me how many legions of angels? But as we mature, we begin to speak the word out our mouth. And they hearken, says that they jump. The angels hearken to the voice of the word. That's when we speak, the angels jump into action on our behalf. Psalm 103 verse 20 talks about that. I want to leave all of us with a couple things. This came about, I don't know, yesterday? I'm not sure, maybe the day before, but when Patty was sharing some word with us, and she and I were going back on a couple things about health situations and things like that, okay? She brought out two things, and I'd read these before, but very, very, I think, just fits right in here. Many of you know who Dodie Osteen was. Joel's mother, but she was given a death sentence. She had cancer, and right here, I don't remember what kind of cancer, but she was given a death sentence decades ago. This happened decades ago, but she was determined not to be moved by this report. Instead, she began confessing the word of God over herself. Every hour, she would proclaim God's word over herself as a medicine. This was her medicine. And when people would say, Dodie, how are you doing? How are you feeling? She would always say, I'm blessed. I am blessed of the Lord. Well, God completely healed her. Totally completely healed her. Another example, and we could all think of these things. I think it'd be good to do research on saints of old that have these amazing testimonies. And we have them too, right here in our midst. Kenneth E. Hagin was born with a deformed heart. By the time he was 15, he was diagnosed with an incurable blood disease. And he was hit with paralysis. He had acute paralysis. He couldn't even walk across the room. He spent almost 2 years in bed at that time, and he wasn't expected to live much longer. He began to read and study the Word of God. God began to reveal himself to him. He began to study the Word. He began to believe what the Word said. He began to confess with his mouth what the word said. He believed it and started acting on it. And he was completely healed of every single one of those conditions. A couple times, he said, throughout the remainder of his life, a couple times, the heart condition, the enemy would throw that something back at him. the heart condition tried to come back, but he would stand again. Sometimes the enemy will test us out again if he can try to, you know, find us in what he thinks is a weakened state. He'll throw it back at us. But Kenneth would stand on his confession and believe in God's healing as a medicine and be totally healed again. I'm going to pray in a minute. And then I'm going to end the call. Because I believe God wants us to be still and take these things before him. Let it sink in what's being said. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for this time that you create for us to get together this holy Sabbath day where we have the assembly, a holy convocation together. And we share, we teach, we admonish, we learn. Father, we thank you for your holy word that just as you tell us, it's a sword of the Spirit, which is the very word of God, that your word is quick and powerful, and it is sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing between soul and spirit, between the joints and the marrow. And your word is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Lord God, teach us how to become those skillful warriors using all the armor that you've given us, but especially the example of our Lord and Savior, the Word, who created all that is, including ourself, and upholds everything by the word of his power. Teach us to rightly divide the word of God, to speak it forth, Lord, in any given situation as led by the Holy Spirit, to know that any situation that presents itself, our eyes are on you. We're not going to look and focus on the situation. We're going to keep our eyes on you. We're going to confess what we hear you say about the situation out our mouth. Praise you, Lord God. Teach our hands to ward our fingers to fight in this hour. May we become those skillful warriors of yours, those instruments of your righteousness in this hour. Father, minister your word, bring more and more revelation, understanding, your guidance. And as we ourselves, as those faithful servants, we're each having situations appear. And thank you, Father. We thank you for them. We thank you that you're allowing the enemy to bring this and to do that. But your word tells us no weapon formed against us will prosper. Because why? The righteousness of God covers us. Jesus has clothed us. He says, all, you tell us all, our righteousness is from you. So when the devil comes, he has nothing in us. He has nothing in us. So Father, this is just a powerful thing you are wanting us to focus on. The power, the assignments you've given to your people in this hour. Help us to be sober-minded. To guard our lips, to submit ourselves before you, to resist the devil. Whatever we hear you say and see you do, that may we say and do in this hour. Father, I thank you for all. We ask that you will continue to lead and guide us all during this week as we meditate on your words. Have your way, Lord. Above all things, may your will and your will only be done, that you alone be glorified now and in the days to come. In Jesus, our Messiah's holy, righteous name. Amen. God bless everyone.